Amen. It's good to see your face. Our lovely brother from was Chalk Farm. How are you, sir? Always good to see your face. This morning, I'll be speaking on this topic, knowing God. Now, personally, I don't think I've reached the level of knowing God. I'm still trying to know Him. But I'd like to share a very short story to help us understand what it means. First picture, please. There's a young woman in the picture behind. That picture was taken a few years before I met my lovely wife. And the next picture, please. And this was 3 days after we met. We had a beautiful wedding 3 days after we met. It wasn't a pre-arranged marriage. We found each other. And 3 days later, we decided, no, we're not staying any longer. We want to get married. And that was 16 years ago. Next picture. And that's us after signing the dotted lines. And the final picture, please. That was us 12 years after the wedding. Amen. But why did I show you this picture? As soon as we signed the dotted lines, got home for reception, my brother-in-law called me to the corner of the house. And he said, John, I don't know you. That's true. I've only known the family for 3 days. So I don't know you. And I'm sure you don't know my sister either. He said, well, we're married now. He said, yes, I know. But what he said next is what actually touched my heart. He said, because you don't know my sister, I don't see this marriage working out. You don't know her, so it can't work. And that's the reality of life. When we don't know someone, the possibility of offending them is higher. Now, knowing my wife is quite easy because after 2 weeks, we know each other already. Oh, come on. I know the best cologne. I know her best food. The food was easier. She loves rice. So that I found out the first day because when I said, what would you like to eat? She said, rice. What color do we paint the room? Blue. I said, okay, she likes blue. So it's easy and straightforward. So I started this word today by just writing this up. In starting and enjoying any relationship, it's important to know your partner, your friend, or your colleague. It's important to know who you're dealing with. It's important to know what they want. It's important they know how they want it. Many years ago, I spoke to a couple, and they said to me, the husband said to me, I'm divorcing my wife. I can't stay with her no more. She's the worst person on the whole world. I can't stand her. And I said, wow, what has she done? Isn't that what we asked first? What's happening? And he said to me, and this is a true life story. He said, John, when my wife goes to the bathroom to brush her teeth, she presses the toothpaste in the middle. And I can't stand that. I was going to say, come to my house. But because of who he is, he couldn't stand that. And because the wife possibly didn't know that his husband is getting offended by this little stuff. To you, it is little. But because you don't know how the other person may react, it really hurts. Because to prevent that, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13, Jesus called his disciples and he said to them, who do men say I am? The disciples had walked with Jesus for several weeks, several months. And they said to him, some people say you are Elijah. Some even say you're John the Baptist. And they called him every name in the Bible, all the prophets, Samuel, David. They just called him every name they found because they knew he was a special man, but they didn't know who he was. And Jesus looked at his disciples, said, but who do you say I am? Jesus had 12 disciples. 11 had no idea. So it's not strange if we don't know God. Because even those that walked with him didn't know him. But Peter, having been led by the Holy Ghost, because this understanding doesn't come by human knowledge. That's why when people say, I don't believe in God because I can't trust him, it's because the basis of knowing God is coming first to him in faith, and you haven't got that. Unless you know him first, the relationship is flawed. So I wrote this. The more of God you know, the less of doubt you experience. I gave my life many years ago. I think I was 9 years old and walked all my life in the church. And one day we went to a city in Nigeria called Abuja for a crusade. And there was a lot of healings and miracles in the crusade. And I believe God. I believe God does wonders. On our way back, we packed to buy some yam because my pastor then liked pounded yam a lot. So we're going to buy some yams to make pounded yam when we got home. And the woman selling the yam came to me and said, "Excuse me, sir. You people are properly dressed. You look like pastors to me." Well, I wasn't a pastor then, but my pastor was there. And I was proud. I said, "Yes, we are pastors." That was easy. And the woman said, "I've got a sick son. Would you mind praying for my son?" And I said, "No, we don't mind. Bring your son. We'll just pray for him now. God is good all the time." And she sent about 4 very hefty men to go fetch the boy. I was troubled at that point. If the boy is 10 years old, why do you need these people to go and get? Just send somebody to go. He said, "No, let them bring him." And they brought this boy. He hadn't walked from birth. And the mother said, "All I want is for this boy to walk." When they brought the boy, I looked at him and I lost all faith. And I said to the woman, "God can do everything, but I don't think it's ideal for us to pray for the child here. Just take the child back. We'll keep praying for the child and God will do that which he will do." And she says, "No, pray for him now, here." And I was trying to discourage that conversation until my pastor heard. And he came. He says, "If she wants us to pray for the child, we pray for the child. It's not unto us to heal the child." I thought I knew God. But in the face of adversity, every faith had gone. I didn't know him enough. In the book of Daniel, chapter 3 and verse 16, I read, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him," meaning the king, "We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter." Now there had been an issue in the land and a judgment was passed and they were going to throw these Hebrew slaves into a beautiful lake of fire, which was actually designed to consume everyone that goes in. And this boy said to the king, "We are not going to obey your instructions because of God that we know." And look, listen. You could see death standing in front of you. Every hope is lost at this point. But these young men knew their God. They said, look at what they said here. "The God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us." He might deliver us. He should deliver us. Maybe he will deliver us. No, he will deliver us. However, if he chooses not to deliver us, that is a choice he has made, not that he can't. And when you look at the word of faith, which is a gift by the Holy Spirit, it encourages your heart in the knowledge of God, knowing that the things that he has chosen to do. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego cast into the lake of fire, and they were walking on hot coal. Oh, Jesus, I want to be Shadrach. I wish I had the faith. I wish I knew God the way they've come to know him. It's difficult when challenges come. And I know certain things happen and we just say, oh, for example, if I have slight headache, I lay my hand, it's gone. But if the doctor wrote me and said, "You're having kidney failure," where is my faith and the knowledge of God in me? Suddenly, it all disappears. We seek for facts as the world knows it. I have had difficult times where I've said to myself, "John, are you sure about God? Is he really there?" That shows how less I know. Daniel 11 and verse 32. I'll read the B part. "But the people who do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits." Man, the people who know their God, their faith in whatever it is they are doing is still to the ground, regardless of what opposition is before them. Certain things happen in your life. It's only a trial of faith. But your knowledge of God is what helps you across it. It's how much of God you know. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew everything about him, so they held on. They said, "We know our God will save us today. We have no doubt in our heart. We are convinced in our spirit." So they stood tall. I shared this testimony many years ago. I was writing an exam and they threatened us that if you scored 99, you had failed. And I can't understand how someone write an exam and score 100. So I decided to pray. prayed so much, got to the examination hall. And when you're writing a professional exam, something happens. They send the questions, and the first question paper has all the answers in it. That's meant for the examiner to keep and distribute the rest. Unfortunately, on that day, the examiner handed me that one. Well, this wasn't in Africa, this was in England. And while I was reading the question, I saw the answers right there. He got the first answer circled, A. B, I said, what's going on here? When the way of a man pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. You need to know this God. Even if he will not save us, it's not because he can't. It's because he's made a decision, a choice not to. Jesus said, this type sounds and it is impossible with man. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. It doesn't matter how big or how impossible it looks. When God is in it, brings about possibility. It's easy. You need to know God. One fact about God is this. That as men, we want to know him. That's a fact. I used to have a consultant many years ago who wasn't a Christian. And every time he had opportunity, he says to me, I don't believe in God. Every time he sees me, I don't believe in God. He wanted me to know, I don't believe in God. And I said, that's okay, that's fine. You don't want to know why? No, I don't need to know why you don't believe in God. That's fine. He says, no, I want to tell you why. I said, all right, tell me why. He said, because there is inconsistency about that idea of God. I said, is it? He said, yes. I said, do you know why? He says, no. He said, but I have tried to search everywhere. I said, he's not everywhere. He's in the inside of you. Unless you locate him there, you can't find him. People go to the mountain in search of God and they come back and say, we can't find him. They look in science for God and yet they can't find him. They look around the world and they can't find him. They say, why is there so much trouble around the world if there is a God of love? Because they don't know him. I bought a smart TV last year. And I thought I knew I was intelligent enough to operate it. So I got the smart TV to the house, got the engineers to install it. And they were saying, for you to use it, you have to press this, you have to do that. Oh, don't worry, come on. I'm too intelligent to be learning how to operate a smart TV. It's just a TV, I can operate it. All right, thank you, sir, and it left. So the first day was a good day. Worked well, everything was perfect. Turned it off at night, went home to bed. Woke up the next morning, and the TV won't come on. Now, the first thing a Nigerian father does is call all his children. Some Nigerians are laughing now. They know this story. Who spoils the TV? Not me. And all the children stand with their hands behind their back. I didn't touch the TV. I don't know what happened. And I did everything. I read the manual. I tried to configure it. It didn't work. With my head bowed down, I picked up my phone and I called Team Know How. And there was the voice of a very young lady on the other side of the phone. And I said, excuse me, ma'am, I think my TV is broken. Can you please send an engineer to come fix it? And the lady said, what exactly happened? And I explained. And she said, there's a red button at the right-hand corner of the table. The Bible says, the labor of a fool wearieth every one of them. Because they know not the way to the city. What you don't know, you don't know. Amen. So because we don't know God, there are certain things about him that is confusing to us. There are certain things about our life that is confusing to us. There are certain things about our partner that is confusing to us. There are certain things about the world that is confusing to us. Why? We have no understanding of who made them all. So we struggle. Paul says, I want to know Christ. Yes, I want to know him. Because that's the foundation of everything on earth. The knowledge of Christ. You can't walk with him except you know him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. He said, when you are coming to him, you must believe that he is God. Unless you come with that understanding, you can't see him. My grandmother, many years ago, she was over 80 years old and had a fall. And her bone in the hip was broken. And she went to see the doctor. And the doctor said, oh, madam, I'm sorry to say, you're 80 years of age. There is no way on earth we can do anything about it. That's in Nigeria. Nothing. Get your children to buy you a wheelchair and sit on the wheelchair for the rest of your days. And my mother said, okay, no problem, we'll go and buy you a wheelchair. My grandmother says, no. And my mom tried to convince her that, grandma, you can't go anywhere. This leg is not going to heal. That's what the doctor just said. Let us help you, buy you a wonderful wheelchair. John is in England. He'll probably buy the best. And she says, no, I know the God that I serve. This may sound impossible, but with God, nothing. So my mother rang me quickly. Something's wrong with your grandma. So I flew to Nigeria because she loved me. I says, grandma, listen, I also believe in Jesus. We also believe in God. Let's buy you the wheelchair. When God heals you, he will heal you right on the wheelchair. She says, no, he heals me here and now. And if he wouldn't heal me now, I will wait. And I said to my mom, leave her alone. She's got her faith. Few years later, one morning, no medication taken, not much prayer said. But because she knew the God she was serving, I got a phone call that one day she got out of bed by herself. Went to the bathroom. On her way back, she's got a carer. The carer looked back on the bed, looked to the person coming, and says, Mama, you can walk? And she said, yes, my God has healed me. It's important we know the God we serve. The next thing I'd like to say is God wants us to know him. God wants us to know him. John chapter 17 and verse 3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus, whom you have sent. God wants us to know him. Everything that he does in our lives is just a pointer to say, this is me. Here I am. How many times do you come home from work and you have a little child, maybe 1 year, 9 months, 7 months, and the child is doing everything for you to notice him or her? Daddy, this is me. This morning, Joanna had her hair done last night, and then she came to me this morning after getting dressed for church. And I said, Joanna, you are beautiful. And she walked out. God wants us to know him. In our troubles, in our challenges, in our difficulties, he wants us to know him. I struggle with that knowledge of God. Who is he? Why is he there? What can I benefit from him being in Nigeria and everything is about benefit? I need to get something. But God says, I've got everything to offer. If only you know me. And we don't care very much about knowing God. We care more about what God can do or what God has done. And that's less compared to your knowledge of him. Paul said, I want to know you, Jesus, first, and the power of your salvation next. But the first thing is knowing you as my Savior, knowing you as God. I had a troubled upbringing before the age of 9. And the day I gave my life to Christ, I had gone there for a different mission. I said in my heart, I'm going to stone the preacher. We have crusade, open air crusades back in Africa, and the preacher stands on the pedestal and preaches from there. And I said to myself, this preacher is blind, he's not going to see me, so I'm going to stone him. I said that in my heart. And when the program started, I kept waiting. And then the preacher said something. He said, I want everyone here to close their eyes. I said, "Whoa, thank you, Lord. I'm going to have the opportunity to stone him now." And while I was on the tree, put my hand in my pocket, brought out a stone, and the preacher stopped right there. There's a young man on the tree. There are so many of us on the tree. There were so many trees there. So there's a young man on the tree. You have said in your heart, you're going to stone the preacher today. But God says I should tell you to come down and come forward. Oh no. Every child on the tree started coming down, except a few of us. The man kept repeating it. Then in Nigeria, when an elderly person says something to you, you have to obey. So some elderly people came to us and said, come on. The preacher said, come down. You have to respect God. You need to come down. I says, I haven't run the stone yet. But I had to come down. Came down, and the man started calling. He said, all the child from the tree, come forward. Oh, I'm not going. So I hid myself. And he was blind. So he lay hand on the first child. He said, no. On the second child. And there were hundreds of children. And he kept going from one to one. And when he had finished, he says, the child I'm talking about is not here. And I said, oh, no. And after a bit of convincing, I came out and he held my hands and he says, you are that child. The Lord loves you. He wants you to come to him. And I broke down in tears. I still had the stone in my pocket. They that know their God shall be strong. It's called the spirit of revelation. It comes from the knowledge of God. I was going for my father's funeral and we had just bought a new car. Now, one of the things that happens in Nigeria is this. We've got the most terrible road in the entire world. Terrible. And my concern for that journey was the safety, even though the car was new. Driving the car to my village was about 12 hours and back to Lagos was a disaster. And I needed to hear from God. And I came for a prayer meeting. And just right in the middle of the prayer meeting, Pastor Nick said, God just showed me something. You've just bought a... And he said, I saw a black Land Rover that the Lord just showed me, the Land Rover, and a red soil. Now, there are two things here. We just bought a black Land Rover 3 days before. Not even in England, in Nigeria. And he said, I saw a red floor, like a muddy ground. That is exactly the nature of the soil in my town. He's never been to my town. But God showed it to him and said to me, I saw safety. There was stability. So I traveled to my town 5 times. In my entire life, it has never happened. But when God gave the word, I knew there was safety on that road. We need to know God. Now, we can know God through various things. But today, I want to just look briefly about knowing God by faith. Knowing God by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. And He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. That's the hardest part. There's something called the science of logic. If you're a psychologist, I'm sure you know that a bit. And one of the things it does is give you an understanding of the end of a matter and crosses it brings it across to the beginning. So you start from the end, and does it make sense? So the first thing is, how can I believe in a God that I don't know? Doesn't make sense. But hear this. Spiritual truths makes no meaning to an intelligent mind. Meaningless. But a heart of faith is built on a genuine love for God. So you believe everything that He said about God before you actually meet Him. He that is coming to me must first believe that God exists. He's your God. Not let me see the sign first, then I'll believe. No. You believe first. And I think I struggle with having to believe according to the Bible's definition of faith, before actually receiving. And as humans, we have this ability to rationalize things. One day, my son was unwell. I was in Nigeria, and Lola had rang me and says, Junior is having these symptoms and that symptoms and these symptoms. And I said, I know what that is. Take him to A&E now. She says, now. I had a dream yesterday that Junior had these symptoms, and I took him to the hospital, and he died. That's the night before. And this morning, I woke up, and he's having exactly the same symptom. I am not going to the hospital. I said, listen. What you're describing to me is a medical emergency. The child needs to see a doctor. She says, no, I'm going to pray. I was far away in Nigeria, and I said, listen, I'm going to have to dial 999 from my phone in Nigeria, and hopefully it connects to England. Maybe I can speak to the ambulance service to come and get the child. She says, no, I'm going to pray for this child. At this point, the child was already bleeding from the mouth and from the nose. And I says, Lola, we're losing this child. She says, no, we're not losing the child. And she was on the phone, she was crying. And she was praying, and she was holding the child to her chest. And she kept praying, and she kept praying. And I just said, no, you need to go to hospital. You need to do the right thing. You're a nurse. If anything happens to this child, you'll lose your pain. Take the child to the hospital. She says, no, I know the God that I believe. My faith wasn't that strong. But thank God for people who can stand challenges, who can say, I'm holding on to God, even in the midst of nothing. When all hopes are gone, some people are holding on. We need that kind of faith. Let me close by saying this. Our knowledge of God determines the strength of our faith and the level of our fulfilled life. If you're going to live a fulfilled life, it's determined by your knowledge of God. I bought my first car in England many years ago, and I got to church to work, and I called one of my directors then. I said, oh, I just bought a new car. And he looked at it, and I said, oh, thank God for this car. Join me to thank God for this car. And he looked at me. He says, John, why do you want to thank God for this car? You're a hard worker. You work so long hours. You should be thanking yourself. I says, no, I have to thank God. He says, you're missing it. Say, sometimes you need to appreciate yourself. I say, woo. And sometimes it does look like we're doing all the work. It does look like we're doing all the work. But I read the Bible verse many years ago that actually reminded me that no. It says the race is not for the swift, neither is the battle to the strong. That means no matter how fast you can run, when your life is not available, the speed doesn't matter. A dead man don't run. The life in you is the breath of God. And if the owner of the breath were to take it away, what skill is required? Nothing. So if you know God, it becomes easier to lean on him and let him do all the work rather than struggling. Is God knowable? Is it possible for us to know God? Knowing that God has several facets. To some generation, it was a furnace of fire. To some, it was a mountain of joy. To several generations, several years, the nature of God as it appeared to man was varying. So some people knew God as a loving and kind God. If you ask the king of Egypt to describe the God of Israel, his experience wouldn't be that good. But if you ask Moses, his experience of God, he was a protector. He was a healer. He was a miracle worker. But if you ask Pharaoh, he's a destroyer. He destroyed the whole army of Egypt. He has several sides. What part do you want to know? What part do you want to experience? God is knowable. In the book of Job chapter 22. Now, let me just give us a general knowledge about who Job was. Job was a very fantastic man. Even God had a testimony about Job that in all the East, he was the best man. He was a great man. But Job faced the most of trying times. Now, I'm sorry to say this, but I don't think there's anyone alive today that has been through a tenth of what Job went through. The Bible says he was sitting in his living room and his first servant came and says, "Hello, sir, you have this number of children and I'm sorry to tell you that they are all dead." While he was trying to think about his dead children, they said, "We are sorry to tell you, all the flocks you have is gone. All the stock you have in the exchange is gone. All the building you have is gone. Everything that had the name of Job written on it was gone in one day." And Job had every reason. The wife says, "Listen, what do you have to do now to live on earth? Just curse God and die, because it is better to be dead than to face the shame of life. Oh, my biggest problem is if my wife leaves me, what will I do? God will take me. I hope she doesn't." But God is available for difficult times if we can hold on. Last week, if you were in church, we spoke about the friend that comes at midnight. And we talked about knocking the door. If you know God, sometimes he wants to be sure you really want him to open that door. So you knock the first time, he says, "I'm going to wait a bit longer." You knock the second time, he says, "I'm going to wait a bit longer." You knock the third time, he says, "I'm going to wait just a bit more to see if you're going to hold on." But many times, after the third knock, we turn around. We don't have a God that cares about us. We don't have a God that feels the things that we feel. If he feels the way I feel, he'll open the door on the first knock. There are several thousand of people knocking the door at the same time as you. And God is willing to open all the doors if you can wait. Knowing God brings peace. If you know God, you have peace round about. There are things that nobody can give you. I've spoken to my mom on a Monday. I was at work. And I said, I got back home from work that night, spoke to her again. And on Tuesday, about 6 p.m., my phone rang. And my brother said to me, "John," I said, "Yes." "Have you had lunch?" I said, "Yes." "Have you had dinner?" I said, "Yes." "Why are you asking?" He said, "Because I want to tell you something that you're not going to believe." I said, "What is it?" "Mom just died." Pop, phone went off. I said, "What?" Tried to call back. Phone wasn't going through. "What's going on?" My wife tried to console me. It was impossible. Everywhere I turned, it was like the world was crumbling down. My faith was disappearing. My thought about God was, why? And somebody said to me recently, "How can you see anything good about this?" No, you can't, and you don't need to. But just know that God is good in all things. In all things. When it looks good, God is good. When it don't look too good, God is good. In all things, he is faithful. The Bible says he is not a man that he should lie. So whatever God says to you is because he has the intention of bringing it to pass. My uncle once said to me, I'll pay your school fees. He was a good uncle. He was the best of my uncle. He said, come to me on Monday morning and pick your school fees. He died on Sunday night in a car crash. So even though he had all intentions to pay the fees, he was not physically available to do so. But we have a God that can't die. Oh, Jesus, we give glory to your name. He is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. He should turn away from what he has said. God never does that. He gives us peace. Knowing God brings us prosperity, good health. A few weeks ago, I had a strange condition. I had 4 or 5 different tests in 3 different hospitals. Every hospital we turn up, they says, oh, you've got good health. I said, but I'm dying. I can't breathe. I can't see. My heart is jumping up. The doctor said, you're fine. Just go home. I go home. I feel exactly the same thing. I go to a different hospital. They take my blood. They do exactly the same test. They come back with the same report. Then I said to my wife, I think I am dying. Nothing is working. I've done all the tests on earth that can be done by medical science. Everything. Positive. Everything is good. But in me, I was losing life. So I came to church. And I called the elders of the church. I said, I'm not feeling well. I love this church. Just say to one person, I don't feel well. You have a group of people grinding around you. And I said, I don't feel well. And Pastor Nick grabbed Pastor Paul, come. Pastor Nick, Pastor Bob, come. Let's pray for him. And they prayed. And I went to the hospital that same day after I had an appointment. And when I got to the hospital, what was hidden to all of medical science? One commitment to God. One young daughter looked at me. He said, this is what is wrong with you. Take this and take that and go home. And boop, that was the end of it. What was troubling my life was resolved by a connection with God. I'm closing now. He calls to men. Oh, let me take the third one. God is not watching from a distance, but draws near to men who draw near to him. If you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. So when you walk through fire, I will be with you. Now, that is a sermon on his own. When you walk through fire, not a good place. But he said, I'm there with you. When you walk through the valley, I am there with you. You see, there are points in life where no one can be with you. It doesn't matter how much they love you. It doesn't matter how much they care about you. It doesn't matter how much they want you, but they just can't be there. I was sitting on the sofa mourning my mom. My wife came to me, gave me a hug. I got to go to work. Hello? She works for the NHS. She has to go to work. It's important you go to work. But I needed someone to be with me. And the Lord was with me. And he said, I will comfort you. I will hold you. I will defend you. I will protect you. And that's exactly what he does. He calls to men to seek his face, to pursue closeness with him, and they respond. Now, for those who will respond, there is an experience that is unforgettable. I started walking with God from the age of 9. Not once has he failed me, even though I have failed him several times. Not once has he failed. Now, I want to refer to Abraham. God called Abraham a friend. I'll tell you one of the things that God enjoys about men, the opportunity to call you a friend. God wants to be your friend. One day, Joel called me. He just came from school and called me and says, Daddy, Daddy, he was probably 7, 6, I can't remember. He said, what is the problem? He says, I don't want to go to school anymore. I said, why? Everybody wants to go to school. You have to go to school. He says, no, nobody wants to be my friend. I'm not at all, but I'm your friend. I said, but I don't want you to be my friend. I want these little children to be my friend. That's exactly how God is. He wants you, not somebody else. He wants you to be his friend. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to listen to you. One of my roles is listening to people. And I must say this not to any member of this church, but in my office, when people talk to me, I kind of try to switch off. Says, okay, all right, okay, all right. Yes, I understand that. Thank you, all right, okay. I'll see you again next week. I said, but I haven't finished. I said, okay, carry on. And your time is 5 minutes, 6 minutes is gone now, so you need to go. But we have a God that if you want to speak for the next 24 hours, he's willing to listen. If you want to talk the whole night, he's willing to listen. If you want to talk the whole month, he's willing to listen. Oh, the Bible says, he that created the ears, will he not hear? Our Father, we just want to say thank you. Let's rise upon our feet. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may know him. Just where we are seated, standing, can we just connect our hearts with God? Help me to know you. I want to know you, Lord. I want to be with you, Lord. I want to understand you more. Help me, Lord. Give me a deep understanding. Where I am confused, Lord, give me insight. Where I am lost, Lord, find me. Help me to see you as you are. Even in times of difficulty, Lord, let me understand you. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I just wanted to share a verse of scripture with you before we begin our worship. It's some Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So, if there's anything that any of us are anxious about, please try and surrender it right now to the Lord. Please pray with me. Lord, help us not to be afraid to come to you with our prayers, with our needs. Help us not to be afraid that you will not answer. Help us not to be paralyzed by inactivity, but liberate us into prayer by your Holy Spirit. Stir us up so we may fulfill your plan and your purpose for our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, Amen. Amen. And now we're going to begin our time of worship. So, Mercy.
Fantastic. It's great. Great to see everybody here. Some people are returning back from long weekends and weeks in the sun. And one or two things have changed. A couple of things that have changed is one or two missing people. One of them is our dear brother Paul, who, as Bob announced a few weeks ago, is taking some time out for refreshment and rest. But also, he had to go to hospital and have a kidney out. What was it, 10 days ago, Barbara? Yeah, something like that. So it's been a really tough time for Paul, a really tough time. So do continue to pray for him. Also, my own wife, she's been in bed for over 2 weeks with a thing called labyrinthitis. Do pray. She's so frustrated. She just can't wait to kind of get back into everything. But I feel that despite all that, God is doing something. I'm glad of the amen. I didn't even have to prompt that. That's really good. But Sandra is back with us. and they will return. They will return better and stronger. Just to share something. For me, that there's been some scriptures that have been very helpful. I find when there's a difficult patch, it's so helpful when you feel God is speaking. And when God speaks, it gives us faith, doesn't it? And the two scriptures that I and others have had, and the first one was the story of Moses, Aaron, and Hur. And there was Moses up on the mountain praying that Israel would have victory over the Amalekites in the valley. And he got tired and his hands started to flop down. And so Aaron and Hur rushed to his side and held up his hands and said, "Moses, sit down on a rock." And he kept going, and the victory was won. And so we felt with that we needed to really get behind Paul, really support him, really pray for him in this, and give him a chance to sit on the rock for a while. But the very next incident in the Bible, with this, there's a chapter break between it, but there shouldn't be really, is that Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, turns up, and he says to Moses, "Look, Moses, there's something wrong here. You're wearing yourself out, and you'll wear us out as well. You're doing all this stuff from day till night. You're doing all this stuff. You can't do it. You need to appoint leaders of tens, of hundreds, of thousands. And then you deal with the difficult ones." And do you know what Moses did? Because he was the humblest man on earth. He said, "Yeah, seems like a good idea. Let's do that." And so things changed. And I do believe in this season that God is changing things. And so we're, you know, coming out of the woodwork and thinking, how can I step up? How can I hold up hands? What can I do? A couple of people sent me an email in the last 2 weeks just saying this: is there anything I can do? And it would have been remiss for me to say, "It's okay, thanks." So I said, you know, when I saw them, you know, What do you want to do? You know, what are you good at? What are you thinking about? And one person said, "Anything really, just something practical. Can you come here a little bit earlier?" Yes. And so they came and they served and they fitted into God's plan, because we are the body of Christ. And God's plan was to get all these random, imperfect people like you and me and say, "I'm going to do it this way through you lot." And that's exciting, isn't it? Anyway, it's a time of new things, and it's that time of year anyway. So on Tuesday, the prayer meeting starts again. If you want to come along, we have an amazing time. God always meets us at the prayer meeting. And if you can't make it on Tuesday nights, then do come along on Sunday mornings, because at 9:45, we pray in one of the kids' rooms, and it's the best prayer meeting. It's really good. Only lasts usually about 20 minutes, but it's a fantastic time. So if you want to and you can, just remember that's there. Also, this is the time of year when the teachers, as my wife would tell you, are beginning to look stoic, and the parents are beginning to look optimistic. Because it's back to school time. And we just wanted to say a massive congratulations to all of you that work very hard at your GCSEs. Whatever the results, some probably got better than they expected. Some, like me, in my time, got a little better, a little worse than they expected. But it doesn't matter. You know, God has a plan for all of us. And we're going to just pray in a moment for the children who are going into their next thing. Hands up if you're going back to school. Who's going back to school? Maybe you're going into, Joe, Sarah, fantastic. What about going into a new sixth form? Anyone going to a new sixth form? Yeah. We don't have anybody, I don't think, that's actually going to uni, strangely, this time. Matthew. Oh, Matthew, yes. Matt. Come on up, Matt. Yeah. Matt. Yes. But, and those old timers who are already at uni. Leon, do you want to come up? Bethany? We're just going to pray. We're going to ask you whether you could pray for the people that are going back to school. So whether you're a teacher or whether you're a child or whether even it's you're going to school for the first time. Who's going to school for the first time? There is one. Where is he? Over there. Young Jax. He can stand up as well. Yeah? So if you're going back to school, could you stand up, and these wonderful people are going to pray for you. Please stand. Not everybody, just the children and the teachers that are going back to school. Are you listening? Hey, John and Joel, are you staying at home? Wonderful.
I saw a picture of like a train and how a train needs fuel to go forward. And so far, we thank you for our education system in this country. We thank you for that. But Lord, we so need your fuel to make it through school and to still be going fast at the end. So we just ask for all these people going back to school now, first time and towards the end. We ask, Father, you would give them the fuel, Father, the energy, Father, to push hard, Father, to stand firm and to be strong. Amen.
Lord, we pray for the younger generation as they go back into school, or university, whatever education they're going into. But Lord, I pray that you would prepare them mentally, physically, and spiritually, Lord, to encounter whatever it is that they have to deal with, Lord. Being organized, staying on top of the game, Lord. I pray, Lord, you would use the younger generation as a tool, Lord, in your hands, Lord. And bring them up, Lord, in your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Father, we thank you so much for the schools and workplaces you've given us. Really pray for your hand over this year. We pray that it'll be such a time of joy in working for you, Lord, whether it's directly ministry, Lord, or in the jobs and schoolwork we're doing, Lord. We pray that you'll open our eyes to be able to see how we can glorify you and really work for your glory, Lord, and not our own. And we pray that you'll surround us, Lord, with good friends. You'll help us to really be bold in our witnessing to them. Lord, we really pray for your blessing and such excitement for this new year, Lord. Give us such an expectancy for you this year, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. We will be praying for Matthew, but he doesn't go back to school just yet. Okay, just one more thing. John.
Good morning, church. This morning, I received a phone call about 8:30 from a member of this church. And he said, "Is today international service?" But that's not all of it. It says, because I don't want to turn up looking different. I was going to say yes, but my wife was sitting next to me and she screamed, no. And the person quickly heard that. But I think there was something the Lord wanted me to know about that. I don't want to be different. And that's the purpose of the international service. Bringing all together as one. That we are one in Christ, we're one in Jesus, we're one in His love and in His mercy. And the international service is God's expression of that love. It gives us the opportunity to speak to our friends about the love of God and invite them for this wonderful service. And there's something else about the international service that I love. It's the food. And every year, I've learned to eat various stuff. But this year, I've made up my mind. I'm going to only eat pounded yam. I think that's the food in heaven. I'd like to remind us, we've got one of the flyers on our seats. If we want to use that flyer as an invitation to give to our colleagues, our friends, our neighbors. And I got the electronic copy a few weeks ago. And everyone who's on my WhatsApp list has received one. I must apologize if you're a member of this church and you're on my WhatsApp list and you have received one. I'm sorry. I just didn't know who to send it to. I just sent it to everyone. So hopefully I'll be having a few friends come in. And I'd like us to just spend 1 minute today while we're seated to just pray for the service. That the mercy of God, the kindness of God will radiate on that day. That everyone that we step in here will have a spectacular experience in God's presence. Let us pray. Sweet Jesus, we just want to say thank you for calling us your children and friend. We pray for this service of unity, a service of togetherness, a service of oneness, an expression of your love. Father, we say on that day, you come and show us great, great power and victory, Lord. Let your love radiate through us, radiate in us, radiate with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for your patience. So if the children would like to go out and the teenagers to their groups, if you brought a child along and you don't know where to send them, then ask me.